You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to SS Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 28th of August, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, on Radio Aryan. And we may have to change the title, Subal, Brutus. Mm-hmm. And I'm joined by Brutus of Troy, who was called Subal. That's why it was SS Britannia. I hadn't thought about that.
I thought it was like, I don't know.
I guess we can leave it as it is.
SAS, really. Something like that.
SAS Britannia. SOS Britannia. Britannia needs SOS. Help. Desperately. Yeah. Desperately in need of help. The internet is in need of help with everything that's been going on the last few weeks. And the latest website to get taken down is Stormfront, which was a real shock to me. Because that's been up for 20 years. And that's an institution. You can't just take down Stormfront. I thought maybe it was being DDoSed, and then I discovered that the same thing's been done to Don Black as has been done to Andrew Anglin, and the internet have actually stolen the name of the website. I just want to say here right now that I have a lot of respect for Don Black. I think he does amazing work. To do a two-hour live podcast every day, I mean, he's been doing that for I don't know how long, probably nearly 10 years. I mean, that is amazing track record to keep doing that. I know that the website itself, the forum, has had its ups and downs, and a lot of people criticize it, but it's a good entry point for people, and you can find all the information you want on there, on news stories from years back. It's a great shame that it's gone down. I hope that he has another one waiting in the wings, because I remember him talking a while back about a new forum, a new Stormfront forum. So I'm just hoping that he has been working on a new one, and that he can bring that out maybe with a different name or some way of getting around these problems that we've been having. We've also got Jared Taylor, who's had his video banned on YouTube, and Jim Rosoli has had some of his videos banned on YouTube. And their new way of doing this is to show people the video, but they give you all these warnings beforehand, and then you can't like it, you can't embed it anywhere, you can't leave any comments. In fact, the only thing you can actually do is flag it for inappropriate content, which is really not on. I mean, to do that to Jared Taylor, again, there's nothing in his video that could be seen as being illegal. And the reasons that they're saying for doing this, the reason that they are saying is that we are somehow inciting violence. So I'll say right now at the beginning of the podcast, we do not wish to incite anyone to violence. We don't think violence is going to solve our problems. Violence is just going to make us look bad. It should only be used as a form of self-defense. And even with what we are facing, you could say that some of these people that go out there and attack Negroes or attack Jews are actually doing it out of self-defense. But we don't really wish to be condoning that. I say now, we're not a website that encourages violence. We don't wish to see anybody get hurt. We just wish for a peaceful resolution. And we know that there probably isn't going to be a peaceful resolution, because we've seen what's happened with multicultural experiments in the past. Multicultural experiments that have just been with white nations have ended up warring among themselves. I mean, just look at the Second World War. That was a brothers' war. We're sharing the same continent, and we went to war with one another. What's it going to be like sharing the same country with other races? But there are ways of getting around these bans. As I say, I'm hoping that Don Black will have thought ahead for this and will have a different forum that he can put up there. Radio Aryan itself is, you know, we've got contingency plans for if anything like this happens. Andrew Anglin, you can find him on WordPress now, and you can find him on Tor. And I believe you've found some way around YouTube, haven't you, Brutus?
Yeah, well, Millennial Woes is recommending a website called BitChute, So, and it's kind of like a new technology which is based on torrents. And I'm not really, you know, a software expert. I'm trying to figure this stuff out now because everything's getting shut down. And it does seem to me that we're going to have to ally ourselves with this, well, with alternative technology. And in fact, there is a new movement growing called the alt tech movement. And I think that's a very good thing. And I'm really happy that it's happening. But anyway, yeah, there is an alternative website. It's kind of like an alternative YouTube or alternative SoundCloud. It's called BitChute, and it works with BitTorrents. So obviously a BitTorrent is like, it's like a file sharing technology, the same kind of file sharing technology that Pirate Bay uses, or, you know, that people use to download, you know, videos and what have you. So it's kind of peer-to-peer connection. So, and it works through the browser, and I'm not going to pretend I really understand what it means, but there is a long history on the internet or within the software industry, which has been spearheaded really by, I suppose, by Pirate Bay, of using torrents and of using file sharing programs and of advocating for, you know, the free sharing of information, and it basically anti-copyright movement. And so this new BitChute website, it kind of seems like it's entangled in that, or it's coming from that background or that kind of ideological group on the internet. I'm not sure. I mean, they're all about freedom of speech. I only came across it because Millennial Woes told me about it. You know, the other one is PewTube. I don't know. BitChute seems like it's got more stuff happening on it at the moment, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I'm really happy about that. And, yeah, I think, I mean, me and you were talking about this the other day, weren't we, on Skype, but I do earnestly believe, and I've been saying this for a long time now. I made a whole video about it last year called, Pepe Will Destroy the Information Industry. Unfortunately, that video has been destroyed itself now, but anyway.
You can still find it in our archive. You still got it in the Radio Aryan Bootlegs archive. I can link to it in this article. I just want to say there, it's what it seems like with this peer-to-peer technology is that they can't take it down because it's peer-to-peer technology. So that would be the benefit of BitChute. And PewTube seems to be more like YouTube, a more traditional way of watching videos, maybe downloading them. But it is explicitly against Google and against communism and SJWs. So we'll see how long that stays up for. I believe alt-right Andy is reposting everything at PewTube. So we've got PewTube and we've got BitChute there. I've come across another one as well, Ad Nauseam, which is like an ad blocker, but instead of blocking the ads, it ticks them all. It tells the people that are sending you the ads that you're clicking on them. So it sends back a false reading to Google that all these ads are being clicked, which messes everything up for them. So it doesn't only protect you from seeing all these ads, but it also messes Google up in a really big way. So I'd recommend that people would use that as well as PewTube and BitChute. And I did hear that the guy that runs Cloudflare has resigned. He's been asked to resign after what he's done to Andre, because he's basically set a precedent here that these big internet companies can just silence people. And, you know, it's not just us that are saying, well, where's this going to end? I mean, they've already gone for Stormfront the next week. I mean, I don't think they're going to take everything down. I mean, if you look at the reasoning, when they took down the Daily Stormer, it was just this idiot just thinking, well, I've had enough of this, and he's lost his job. And if you look at Stormfront, the people that took down Stormfront, what they're saying is that 100 people that have committed murder, 100 murderers, were found to have membership of Stormfront, were found to be making comments on Stormfront. So that's their actual reading. That's their reasoning for it. I mean, they could even use that for the Daily Stormer. They could say, well, Dylan Roof was a member of Daily Stormer. But I'm not so sure they'd be able to get away with that for any other sites. I mean, these are just these huge sites. I mean, I don't know how they could say, well, someone that follows Richard Spencer is a murderer. They wouldn't be able to do that. And this guy from Cloudflare is gone. So, you know, it may not be as bad as we're all thinking, but we should prepare for it being that bad. We definitely should be prepared for this happening. As I say, I expect Don Black to be prepared. I would imagine that there'd be another forum up within the next couple of days. I mean, he must have thought that something like this might happen. I mean, you've migrated to BitChute. I've got contingency plans in case they go after Radio Aryan. But I doubt that they would. I don't know what they'd be able to link us to do that. I mean, we've got a disclaimer. Anyone feeling incited to hatred of other races or religions has misunderstood our intentions. Our intentions are to promote love of our own race. And, you know, we're speaking to our own people. You know, please don't go sending our podcasts to rabbis and politicians and saying, there you go, look, see, you got it all wrong. You know, that's what gets us into trouble. I mean, someone sent a copy of Tales from the Holocaust to a rabbi, and that's what got Simon Shepherd charged with hate crimes for publishing it. I mean, if I'm talking to you, Brutus, as I am now, then, you know, we can't really be, you know, I don't see how we can really be prosecuted, because you're not offended by what I'm saying. I'm not offended by what you're saying. And anybody that chooses to tune in is deliberately choosing to listen to it. So if they are the sort that are likely to be offended, then they are deliberately doing that to themselves, you know, in an act of masochism. That's what I would say in court anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a case of, you know, hope for the best and prepare for the worst, really. I mean, there's a couple of things going on. I mean, first of all, we have to be prepared for a major shutdown if it does happen. But also, secondly, at the same time, we need to destroy Google, and we need to destroy Facebook, and we need to destroy YouTube, and we need to destroy Twitter. There has to be a consumer revolt, and we have to bring down these massive institutions. And I don't think it may seem like an impossible task, but I don't see why. I mean, a lot of people on the alt-right are asking for government intervention, and they're hoping and praying that Trump is going to declare that Twitter is of utility or something, but I don't see him doing it. I mean, it wasn't part of his election campaign, and, you know, he's having difficulty even doing a Muslim ban. So, I don't see him doing that in the foreseeable future. So it's not that I'm against that idea, but we have to have a plan which is actually going to work. And it seems to me that the best possible action we can do at the moment is to get on board an alternative software movement which wants to create an alternative to these giant monstrosities. And there are a lot of very intelligent white men who are frustrated with Silicon Valley, who are frustrated because their jobs are being stolen by Indians. And they, you know, and they're frustrated because of privacy issues. They're frustrated, as I was saying earlier, there's a huge anti-copyright movement within Silicon Valley that they just want to have free information and free software. The Linux movement is a huge part of that. And, like you were saying, there's the whole torrent thing. There's the peer-to-peer sharing thing, which is more, you know, instead of having a centralized command and control of the internet, you have this more kind of egalitarian, concept of the internet. So there are all these, revolutionary forces within the software industry and within Silicon Valley. They've been there for a long time. People have been struggling against these giant institutions for a long time. And if we ally ourselves with them, and it seems like we are doing this, you know, the alt-right has, or at least the Daily Stormer has allied itself with Andrew Tauber, the guy that runs Gab. And like I say, you've got this alt-tech hashtag running. So if we ally ourselves with them, then we can really just rebuild the internet from the ground upwards, basically. It seems like a massive task, but if we can get the Trump followers on our side, then it can be done. And like I said last week, the Trump followers are the people with the money, right? The white man's the one that's got the cash. a bunch of Mexicans and black people living off welfare in America, they're not the ones that can buy stuff. So really, we've got the cash cow. If we bring people onto our platforms, and we're the ones that, you know, will have the platform to sell people stuff over the internet. So, yeah, I think we need to destroy these companies. And yeah, if you missed the podcast last week we were shilling for a new browser. It's called Brave. It was created by a guy, I can't remember his name, but he was the guy that was kicked out of Firefox because he gave money to an anti-gay marriage political group or whatever. And so he lost his job because of hate speech or for thought crime or whatever. And he started a new browser. So yeah, in this way, we need to ally ourselves with this alt tech movement, and we need a consumer revolt, and we need to destroy Google.
We need to, it needs to be us that are doing it. You know, we can't sit around and wait for Trump to intervene or ICANN to intervene. We've got to support these new platforms. You're talking of Brave, which was the browser that we were talking about last week. No sooner I downloaded it and installed it, and Windows 10 uninstalled it that night. I haven't been able to find it on my computer since. Windows 10 just got rid of it, just like that. So I've got to download that again after we make this podcast. But it's not all bad news. I did have some good news this week. A huge Antifa site in Germany has been banned. They've had the same thing done to them that the Daily Stormer has had done to it, only they've had it done to them by the government. And this was the website that organised all the riots at G20. Apparently, it's been going for about 10 years, and it's been responsible for all sorts of political violence against conservatives, nationalists, and patriots. And it's been completely taken down by order of the government. So that's a bit of good news that I wasn't expecting to hear. So it's not all bad. And again, I say we've got to point out the violence that the left are doing. Christopher Cantwell, he's been locked up, got three charges against him. But the black lad that was responsible for a hell of a lot of violence that turned up there, tooled up with lots of weapons, and then got bashed in the head in self-defense, he's being treated as a victim in this. And yet there are all these pictures of him going to the rally, tooled up with weapons. So people need to send these pictures, when you see them, send them to the FBI and to the news agencies and to the police, and point out that the left are responsible for these violent acts against us. I haven't heard any more about the petition to Donald Trump to get rid of Antifa and declare them as a terrorist organization, but there was already 200,000 signatures on that the other week. So he's got an excuse to do something about it if he wants to do something about it. You know, the public will is there.
Yeah. I mean, this is something, wow. I mean, I remember we were talking about this back in March and April. When is he going to bring the hammer down? When is he going to defend his own people? I mean, back then they were attacking Trump supporters all the time. You walk down the road, you're wearing a Trump hat, you're going to get a bunch of crazed black people or Antifa people just attacking you and punching you in the face, and Trump won't even defend his own people. I mean, it's just really, I mean, I'm kind of really disappointed, to be honest with you. But I think the narrative is definitely shifting in our favor, in our direction. I mean, even controlled opposition type people like Alex Jones and Stephen Molyneux and even the rebel media and people like these, even they have to admit now that Antifa are incredibly aggressive and violent and bad people. So I think Republicans and white people in general in America are waking up and realizing this fact. And I got to say, they really, people really need to wake up and and realized the madness of this violence. I mean, this is not a joke that we're playing with. This is dynamite. This is how the Red Terror started in communist Russia. This is like the Cultural Revolution of China. This is like Pol Pot with his teenage psychopaths. I mean, you have a violent group of people like this, you know, declaring, you know, kill. I mean, how long ago was it? Black Lives Matter was marching down the street shouting, kill cops, even ambushing cops. And now it's, you know, it's transformed into Antifa and then Black Lives Matter is starting to creep back in as well. But this is a really dangerous group of people. And I know that we always joke and make fun of Antifa because as individuals, they are obviously physically weaker than us. But the point is they're not individuals, they're mobs, and they act as mobs. And it doesn't matter how tough you are, you can't fight against when you're getting jumped by 10 people. It's the kind of thing which you see at the beginning of a communist revolution. So, I don't know. I mean, I've been pretty wary this week. I'm feeling a little bit more white-pilled now, but watching the Daily Stormer going down, watching Stormfront going down, watching all this massive shutdown on the internet, and at the same time, you've got Antifa on the street causing carnage. I mean, it really does look like the beginning of a communist revolution. It's really, quite disturbing, and I'm just hoping and praying that there's going to be a rallying point. I mean, we will rally at some point. I just don't know where it's going to be. At the moment, it seems like there's a partial rally on Gab. We really have to keep our eyes open and watch this thing, because this is like dynamite. I mean, this is just like exploding in our faces right now.
It's extreme ultra-violence, isn't it? It's extreme ultra-violence is what these people are engaged in. I mean, seen some of these videos that are turning up on Twitter where, you know, just people that aren't even nationalists that are just being punched because they're white. There was even an Antifa guy that was punched because they thought that he was a Nazi and he was actually one of the Antifa themselves. This is going on all over the place, and you're right there. They will gang up. There'll be 10 of them to one nationalist. So be careful out there. I know in Britain we're not allowed to carry defensive weapons because the police are supposed to be there to protect us. But you can get a form of spray. I think it's called FARB or something like that. It's particularly uncomfortable if you get sprayed with it, and it will stay on you for a week. So if you spray somebody with this, the police can instantly see that that's a criminal because he's obviously attacked someone because he's been sprayed with this spray. So I would recommend that if people are concerned or just to get hold of one of these anyway, so that if you are attacked, you can identify the people that have attacked you because they'll be covered in this red spray. So that's just a little tip there. One thing I have found encouraging is to see what Katie Hopkins has been saying, and David Vance, and Ann Coulter. I mean, they are all moving further towards the right. They're all standing up for free speech, basically. I mean, Katie Hopkins has been talking about the clampdown on YouTube. She's been pointing out the fact that all the criminals that I forget whether it was Manchester or Birmingham, all these gangs that were banned from using social media, they were all black. And she's pointing out, is this a diversity that's enriching us? And she gets better and better every day. Julian Assange has just tweeted Jared Taylor's video. It was Jared Taylor's video on IQ and race that YouTube decided to do this partial banning to. And the reason they're doing this partial banning is because if they did actually ban it, then there will be legal problems for them. So what they're doing is they're trying to prevent people from sharing it or liking it. And it's drawing massive attention to it. I mean, you wouldn't have seen Katie Hopkins and Julian Assange retweet a Jared Taylor video before this actually happened. So this may help to draw attention to what's going on. And you know, I mean, I'm really pleased that there are still some people with integrity left. I do believe Katie Hopkins is someone with integrity. I don't agree with everything that she says, but she, you know, she's genuine. Anne-Marie Waters with UKIP is doing really well in these leadership hustings. Anyone who can afford to should join UKIP and vote for her to lead the party, because she is speaking up against censorship. She's speaking up about political correctness. She's speaking up about the Islamification of the country and the rape of young white women, young white girls, while the Labour Party and our establishment are still trying to cover it up. I mean, it's horrific. This Labour MP, this Naz Shah MP last week, retweeted a tweet that was saying that white girls should just shut up about being raped for the good of diversity. And this Labour MP retweeted that. And this is in the same week that a Labour MP is sacked for saying, should we be, you know, asking why all these rape gangs are Muslim? So when anyone in the establishment does speak up and they get sacked by their party, you know, it's up to us to then support them and say, well, we support you. You might think we're the nasty far right, but we're the only people there that are actually supporting you.
Yeah. Words can't really describe you know, how, well, I'm sure everybody in the audience feels the same way. I mean, what can we really say about this Pakistani MP saying, telling young white girls to shut their mouths for the sake of diversity? I mean, it's if ever there was a quotation which summed up the state of England in 2017, I think that's it. I think that will just, that will go down in history, really. Yeah, it's disgusting. It's, I mean, how long can it go on for? And Sarah Champion, I think, was her name. So I was just looking at her before we came online. I think she was MP for Rotherham. So I don't know the full story behind it, but she did an article in The Sun talking about the Pakistani problem. And yeah, they sacked her. They sacked her. It's just, it can't be covered up anymore. It's just overflowing with bile and filth, and it's just rotten to the core, and they just can't cover it up anymore. It's got to come out. There has to be some pushback. Like you say, people like Keith Hopkins are starting to get the message, and people are starting to wake up. This is the thing about the internet. You have enough freedom of speech for long enough, then people will start to wake up. This is why they're trying to shut us down. Like Richard Spencer says, we've won the battle of ideas. We've created a mass movement on the internet. We've won the battle of ideas. They can see that we are winning. And that's why they have to shut us down. There is no choice. So it's actually kind of an act of desperation, really, on their part. Because if you think about it, the left, they've actually got time on their side. Because they're, you know, as you know, we're sitting on a demographic time bomb. All they have to do is wait, really, for another 10 or 15 years. So it would, you know, why bother shutting down the internet, right? Why not just wait for 10, 15 years and then shut it down in 10, 15 years' time when they've won the demographic battle, at least in America? And, you know, no one's really going to resist. No, they're doing it now because our ideas are spreading fast and people are coming to our side. And so they have to shut it down, even at the risk of there being a backlash. So, I mean, this is what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the rally. I'm waiting for the pushback. I'm waiting for the counter-strike. I'm hoping and praying that the Daily Stormer gets back online. I mean, if it does, then it's going to be one of the most famous websites on the internet. And it will basically be a case of Judaism shooting themselves in the foot, and my God, it will be glorious. So yeah, I'm waiting for the pushback. If we manage to survive this shutdown and we do rally and we do push back, we're going to be twice as strong, if not 10 times as strong as we were before.
Well, I think it's a credit to our ingenuity and our tenacity that they are having to resort to trying to shut us down. They can't wait 10, 15 years until the demographic time bomb goes off. They know that we're only a small portion of the population, but we are so resourceful that they have to try and silence us. They know that the white man's spirit even if there's only a few of us left, once the wrath is awakened, the wrath of the awakened Anglo-Saxon, that's it. There'll be all hell to pay. So they are desperate to silence us, even when it's just a minority of us, because they know that our ideas and our principles are all based on truth. They're all based on facts that are strong enough to cause people to be willing to die for their people once you realize what's going on. And, you know, so many of us understand the spiritual aspect of it as well, that this life is, you know, in the scheme of things, it really doesn't matter that much. You're just a one link in a chain that goes all the way back in your race. And, you know, this mortal life, we have an immortal life, we have an eternal life, and this mortal life will be gone in the blink of an eye. So, you know, dying in battle, you know, that's great. If you look at our ancestors, they wanted to die in battle. They were desperate to die in battle, defending their people. If you read the history of Britain, and we just need to awaken that again in our people, I think.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I understand it, it was more of a case of people wanted to be remembered. People wanted the glory. That was what they were motivated by. They were warriors. Warriors are not primarily interested in wealth. That's for the classes below. That's for the merchant class or the working class. Warriors are motivated by glory. That's what they want. They want to die in battle so that their name is remembered. They want to be a heroic king. We used to be a heroic people. Unfortunately, we've now become a consumer culture. I remember Jonathan Bowden talking about this. He's talking about, you know, it's nowadays it's all about getting ahead, isn't it? It's all about getting that promotion, getting the new car, moving to a nice part of town, getting the nice, you know, holiday in wherever, somewhere that's white probably. But keeping up with the Joneses, getting ahead in the rat race. It's all very mercantile and not heroic at all. But we used to be a heroic people, and we used to do things for the honor and the glory. And I think that's kind of, I've been thinking about this week. I think I may even say that I'm really doing this for the honor and the glory. More even than the necessity of doing it. I'm doing it for the glory. And because I look at my ancestors, I look at the way, you know, I look at Achilles, I look at Aeneas, I look at Brutus. I mean, they did these great heroic acts. They did it for their people, yes. But I think they also primarily did it for their name and fame. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to be remembered. I've seen, what's that guy called? The Golden One kind of talk about this as well, like how it's a real kind of Viking sentiment. It's not bad to want to do things in a selfish way or for yourself or for glory or for name and glory. It's actually a very good thing. And I think somewhere along the line we've kind of lost this principle, or it's just become confused. There seems to be too much emphasis on sacrifice for your people, in my opinion. Obviously, you are sacrificing yourself for your people, but at the same time, to do things for honor and glory and fame is not a bad thing either. And especially for young men, I mean, you want to make your mark on the world, don't you? So, I think trying to do something for the cause, trying to do some great act or political activity or make some great propaganda or whatever for the cause, and doing it because you desire fame and glory and wealth is not a bad thing at all, and it should be encouraged. And I will remind the audience that Jez Turner has promised me a mansion in heaven. And I'm going to collect my I'm not even joking. I will collect my mansion. And when we kick the Jews out of this country, there's going to be a lot of property in North London. And I'm going to get some of that property. And I'm going to rent it out. And I'm going to retire on a rental income. And I'm going to spend the later years of my life going skiing in the Alps and having nice holidays and talking to going down the pub with Sven and with other people and talking about the Glorious Revolution. And it's certainly something which keeps me motivated.
Well, that's where the origin of the songs used to come from, wasn't it? The bards would sing songs about their heroes of old, and that's how we would remember our history. We would remember it in song. We would sing about our great ancestors that fought these wars, laid down their lives, or killed 1,000 people in one battle alone. I was reading about King Arthur the other day, killing 900 people in one battle alone, and this was known by the whole country. They would know the history. And they would sing these songs about it. And nowadays it's devolved into, the football chants that we have. And to be famous is more to be a celebrity. It's for vacuousness and money now rather than for doing great things. But at least with nationalism, we do remember our great heroes. I mean, look at Adolf Hitler. I mean, he said his spirit would rise from the grave, and it sure has risen from the grave. And last week was the anniversary of George Lincoln Rockwell being assassinated, 50 years since George Lincoln Rockwell was assassinated. And there was a man way ahead of his time, way ahead of his time. I mean, people today are still reading his books for ideas on how to propagandize the movement, how to get media attention, ways to do things. And he had it all laid out. They were going to be wearing the Nazi uniforms at first, get all the media attention. Once they had the media attention, they were going to move on to phase two of the plan. And the establishment just couldn't allow it to go any further. And he was assassinated. But he's still remembered today. I mean, if anything, he may even be bigger today than he was 50 years ago. And so many people look up to him, and I do recommend people read his books. I read White Power, and that's a fantastic book. Really, a lot of insight. So we do remember the nationalist heroes that we've had. They go down in song. And I guess nowadays we have a new way of doing this with memes. If you look at Donald Trump and during his campaign and all those memes that were generated, showing Donald Trump as the God Emperor, as a fighter, as a warrior, as a knight, being anointed by God. All these things are ways of showing people that we approve of them, giving them encouragement in what they were doing. I mean, that must have really encouraged him in what he was actually doing, to see all that support that he had from his people. So there are ways that we can show support for other nationalists, people that are sticking their neck out for us, people that are taking these risks, like Andrew Anglin. I may disagree with him on some things, but I have to give him credit for what he has achieved. And it's terrible. It must be really awful for him not to be able to have his voice heard. I will remind people he's got a blog. He's got a WordPress blog that people can check out, which has got his thoughts on all of this and what's been going on. Because, to be silenced, I mean, we talk about censorship, silencing people and your videos get stopped, but to have your whole site just taken off the internet so that you can't actually, people can't hear a word that you're saying and they can't look back at any of the news stories that have gone on. And it's just like 1984, rewriting history as if to say the Daily Stormer never existed. All those news stories never happened. Because you can't go back and find them. That the site is no longer there. I don't know how the Wayback Machine works with it. Perhaps you could use the Wayback Machine and find some of the old Daily Stormer stories. But it'd probably just be the front page. You may not even be able to get to the articles. And while our alternative media is being hit like this, the lamestream media, the main establishment media that's trying to turn the internet into one huge echo box, the BBC have now produced a BBC nigger babble version. It's called BBC Pigeon, literally reading the news out in nigger babble, aimed at West Africa. And it's like talking to children in children's language. Goo goo goo, ga ga ga. This is BBC News. Unbelievable. And this is aimed at West and Central Africa. And all the money for this, all the money to provide television for the whole of Africa, is coming from elderly white people who pay the TV license to come out with this rubbish. Have you seen this site, Brutus? BBC Pigeon. I didn't think it was real. I saw this site, or I saw a screenshot of it, and it was the same time that I saw the Naz Shah tweet, and I thought both of them were probably, you know, mock-ups. But both of them were true. Flabbergasted at this one.
Yeah, it's kind of like the memes are coming real, isn't it, unfortunately?
Yeah.
It's like our satire is actually, it's becoming the real world, unfortunately. It's kind of quite frightening. Quite amusing. I mean, not amusing in the case of Naz Shah, quite amusing in the case of the Pigeon Speak. I mean, it's...
do you know what else they've done? Do you know what? Do you know what else they've done? They've got this diversity agenda. Yeah, you've got to have diversity quotas. They've got a one-armed weather woman. A one-armed weather woman. If the one job that you need to have two arms for to wave your arms around the map so people can see what the weather's doing, and they've got someone with one arm.
Yeah,
and it looks really odd as well when it starts wiggling. It's scary. And they've got a Negro in a wheelchair doing a travel program. A travel program. I mean, you can't even travel all the way around Britain in a wheelchair. just memes becoming real life. But yeah, that one does take the biscuit. BBC Nigger Babble. The Pigeon Station.
Yeah. I think it's just kind of sick, actually, to be honest with the whole disabled thing. I'm not in favour of the Paralympics, I just think it's, and not that I'm against disabled people. I mean, obviously it's very bad and unfortunate if you have an accident, and obviously, you know, you have things like ex-military servicemen, they get legs blown off and they kind of want to do something, but I do think it's kind of, it rubs me up the wrong way. It feels like a sick joke. It feels dishonorable. It feels like they're just making fun of these people, you know? It kind of reminds me of what Morgoth was saying about Diane Abbott. He wrote a post about her, you know, saying how she's probably got an IQ of like 80, and the Labour Party just pushes her on into all these interviews, and every single interview she does is just a train wreck, and it's kind of, you're kind of humiliating her, but not humiliating her. You know what I mean? It reminds me of when I was at school, there was a dumb girl, right, in our year at school. I mean, every year at school's got everyone knows who the retards are, right? But there's one girl, she was a white girl, but she was thick, right? She was the thickie. And she declared one day that, she wanted to be a doctor, right?
And, I bet they encouraged her as well. I bet they encouraged her and said, you can do anything.
They encouraged her. And everyone just thought it was a joke. And people made fun of her. And it was just like, it's a sick joke. I mean, back in the past, people used to say, you know, they'd sit down and they'd say, look, dear, you're just not that bright. You know, this is your lot in life. And deal with it. I mean, this is the thing about the right wing, I think. It's people on the right, they recognize that there's a hierarchy, and they recognize that some people are beautiful and some people are ugly, some people are smart and some people are stupid. And we've all just got to deal with it, right? But people on the left, they have this egalitarian, utopian, beige utopian dream, and everyone can be whatever they want, right? Everyone can just follow the glitter into the stars. And it's actually very cruel. And yeah, this girl, she's just dumb. And she's like, yeah, I want to be a doctor. And it just looks like a sick joke. I mean, when I was looking at the BBC Paralympics, and you got that little dwarf girl, I think she was like a swimmer or something, and she's getting an award. And it's just like, I can't quite put it into words, but I feel in my bones that it's wrong.
Yeah, I don't mean to be knocking disabled people, and this one-armed weather girl, I mean, it's terrible. It's tragic that she's only got one arm, but you don't want to see somebody with one arm on the television. You want to see beautiful people. Yeah, we naturally want to look at beauty. We don't want to look at ugly. And it's not like she goes out of her way to try and make it look like she has two arms. She'll wear a long sleeve or a t-shirt sort of top, so that it just looks like there's this wiggly thing at the bottom of it. It looks horrible. And you just think, why? Has somebody told her that she looks really good? Why on earth would somebody say, yeah, girl, you go ahead and be a weather girl. You can do it. It's ridiculous. And the Negro in a wheelchair. Negroes never even invented wheels. And it infuriates me every time I see a Negro in a wheelchair. And I think about the white disabled people that need help. And I think they've wasted that money on helping him when we've got our own people that need help. And they could never even be bothered to design a wheel for themselves. So why should we give them wheelchairs? But just on the equality thing there, with the left that is constantly pushing for equality, thinking that equality is a noble aim that we should be trying to achieve all the time, life itself has to be unequal. If everything was equal, you would have no life. Everything would be exactly the same. There'd be no difference between anything. You would not be able to know anything. You would have no consciousness. It would be death, basically. Total equality is total death. You have to have inequality. You have to have contrast between things in order to have experience, in order to have life. You have to have black and white to know that there is light and there is shade. You have to have different degrees of color to know what color is. You have to have inequality to have anything, to have any knowledge at all. You have to have inequality. The whole of consciousness and life is based upon that. And this idea of pushing towards equality, it comes from death. It's evil. It's an evil thing that comes from a force of evil. And the left itself, you know, we say that the right is right. Well, the left is wrong. All of it. The left-hand path, the left-hand way of doing things is push towards equality, push towards tolerance. All of it stems from evil. You know, I do see things as there being a force for good and a force for evil and different degrees of that in just about everything that we see. And that is a part of life. And that is because good and evil are not equal. And the Kabbalah, that pushes the idea that good and evil are both the same thing and it just depends on the observer. That's not correct. That's not correct. It doesn't just depend on the observer. There is a supreme good and there is a supreme evil. And the supreme evil will eventually get destroyed by the supreme good. And that's the only thing that can happen to it. But until that time, you know, we have life. We have to have inequalities or we can't have life. And we have to get used to that. And we should be pleased when somebody is doing really well, when somebody is really intelligent and is really gifted. We should be really pleased for them. We used to be 100 years ago. Servants used to love their masters, their lords and masters. They used to love it when their masters did well. They used to look at the beautiful houses that they had and they used to think how wonderful it was and how lucky these people were that they actually had that. And how great it was that at least some people had life like that. And this is the reason why the king would be so rich and he would be so well taught. So at least there was somebody that was well educated, that, you know, the very best of our people that could be our diplomat and stand up for us and make decisions for us. And they had to be the most well educated. They had to be the most rich. There had to be someone that had all of this. And we would think of that as a good thing. I mean, I've seen interviews with servants that talk like that. About how, you know, how much they loved their master and how pleased they were that at least somebody had a rich house and that they felt really honored to be doing the housekeeping and looking after it. And the lords themselves would be friendly with their servants. It would obviously be this class difference that was always there, but there was no resentment of the fact that these people were in an upper class because they were expected to look out for the poorer classes. That was the reason why they were in the upper class. That was the reason why God had given them this money and this intelligence, was so that they could look out for the ones that didn't have so much money and intelligence. If it wasn't for that, then we wouldn't understand the urge for charity and mercy and for looking out for other people. All these things that help to make us who we are. You know, the whole point of life, it has to have inequality. So to go against that, it goes right against the very nature of life itself, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite ironic that, you know, we on the right, we're actually the ones that promote diversity. really, because we, you know, we believe that men and women are different. We believe that different races are different. We believe that different classes are different. We believe in a hierarchy. We believe that there are distinctions between people. And the left, it's blabs on about diversity as a strength. But really what it wants to do is just wants to melt everybody down into a giant grey sludge, unfortunately. Or to be more accurate, the Jews want to melt everybody down into a giant brown slave race with no history that they can rule over. That's the real Tikkun Olam. But it is very sad. I mean, I think people need to want to. I was thinking about this the other day. People look at the right wing and they think that we're, how could you say, so arrogant, authoritarian, and it's all about being a master and ruling over people. But it's really not what it's about at all. Because if you look at the kind of traditional medieval culture of Europe, if you look at the culture of the right wing, actually in that culture, everybody is a servant. The children serve the mother and the father, the wife serves the father, the father, he might be a peasant, he serves his lord, and that lord in turn will serve a king, and that king in turn may serve an emperor or the church or whatever. So really in any given civilization or any country, you only really have one guy at the top, and that's the king, and everybody else is serving him, and the king serves God. So really in a right-wing society, this is the great irony, in a right-wing society, everybody is a servant, and everybody bows his head to the man that is higher than him in the hierarchy. And but the left, on the other hand, in the left, everybody's an individualist. Everybody is his own master. It's that old joke of, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven, right? Everybody is the devil. Everybody is individualistic. Everybody's just running around doing whatever the hell they want with no care for their parents, for their family, for their nation, or for whatever. Everybody is entirely selfish. So really, actually, even though the left wing, they like to, you've got this, what is that book called? The Authoritarian Personality. This Jewish deconstruction of Western culture where they say, the family is fascist and the father, dominates his family. Well, maybe the father does tell his wife and kids what to do. I was watching The Waltons the other day, just popped up on the TV. It was lovely, watching, old Father Walton telling his kids to go to bed, and they all just jumped up in the bed. Maybe the father does tell his family what to do, but in turn, that father will work in a business with somebody, and his boss will tell him what to do, and he'll do it, right? And that guy that's the boss of the business, he'll get told what to do by his boss or by a police officer or the government or whatever. In turn, there is a hierarchy, right? You accept orders from somebody else, and you give orders to somebody else. And that's how the system works. Everybody's a master, in a little way, and everybody's a servant as well. But of course, the left will never talk about the service side. And it's one of the hallmarks of, I think, Western civilization, where you have this black culture overcoming everything. And if anybody serves anybody or tries to help anybody, in America, they'll just say, oh, you're my bitch. You're my bitch. You're working for me now. You're my bitch. It's like, wow, there's just no respect. No respect for an attitude of service. It's just disgusting.
Well, when you think about it, what the left is pushing is being a slave to yourself, a slave to your selfish desires and passions. And when you say that the king serves God, well, how do you serve God? How do you serve God? You serve God by serving your people. So when you have a well-disciplined hierarchical society with everybody serving the one that is above, then that society is working for the good of everyone. everyone else is working for the good of everyone else. Instead of working for the good of their own selfish desires, where they don't want to be working, where you have the black attitude of, you're working for me now, bitch, with no respect for the actual idea of work, you have the opposite of that. And all the work that you're doing is for the betterment of the society. I mean, that's what National Socialism was, the nation working for the good of the nation, so that the, you know, the sum of all the parts is greater than the whole, rather than just the individual parts on their own doing whatever they can for themselves. You've got the whole organism working for the good. You know, the whole body, the whole nation is like one organism working for what's best of that nation. And this is the way things are in nature. If you look at a flock of birds, they will all turn at the same point. If you look at a shoal of fish, they'll all turn at the same point. If you look at large land mammals that are stampeding together, that they'll all turn at the same point. They'll all go in the same direction. They have this discipline. They work together as a herd or as a flock. And we should be working together as a nation. That's the natural way to do things. Much as, you know, there is to criticize about North Korea, the way that they get all the North Koreans together to do those games and to march along together and hold up those signs together, the very fact that they're all doing that together as a people must be a wonderful buzz. It must be close to the buzz that musicians get when they play together and they're all playing in tune together. It must be like that, but with a whole nation that's doing that. Think of the sense of togetherment that you must have, and almost like a telepathic link with all these other people that are of the same ethnicity. You know, just having these grand games when you can get together like that. I mean, it must be quite the opposite of what you would get if you went to the Olympics, I think, going to those North Korean games. Maybe even the Roman games were similar, but these things that just got the people together, all working as one, all cheering as one, all thinking the same thing, you know, all the different parts of the nation feeling together as one nation instead of as individuals. You know, we are really missing out on something that our ancestors had when they were part of the tribe, part of the clan, part of the nation, all working for the good of that people group. We just don't have that anymore. You can't have that with multiculturalism and diversity, because a house divided against itself will fall. And that's what diversity is. It's not a strength. It's a proverb that tells you that if you have it, your house will fall. And that's what we see all around us. Our house is falling down around our ears, and we're the ones that are speaking up, that have a plan to put a stop to that. Brutus.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, are we running out of time? I agree. And I suppose this is why people go to football games and things like that, so they can, you know, stand side by side and chant and sing songs. But it's just obviously a very shallow kind of togetherness. Although I suppose, you know, if it's your home city and you know, you're with the men from your city, then I suppose there is something there. We talked about this before, didn't we, with Millwall, the guy that fought the terrorists. When he punched that terrorist, he didn't shout, "I'm British." He shouted, "I'm Millwall." So I suppose, yeah, there's something there, but it unfortunately doesn't run too deep. It does, what you're saying does remind me very much of a video that Vagn Bekirnes did recently. And I obviously don't agree with Vagn Bekirnes's survivalist manifesto, because I don't think survivalism is going to protect us from the Red Terror, but he does come out with some gems every now and again, because he is basically, you know, a medievalist. So I do really like him, actually, because he's got a family, he's got kids, he's very much filling that archetype of, you know, grumpy old man that lives in the forest kind of thing. but he was talking about kind of what you were just saying there, Sven, in that if you live in a community, like a clan-like community of, say, 200, 300, 400 people or whatever, and everybody's related to everybody else, you know, everyone's like your cousin or your second cousin or what, there's a giant family relation between everybody, and it's a really closely knit, solid community, then people will help each other out, because you're helping out the clan, you're helping out the family, and so you're helping yourself out. But if you live in a big city, right, as soon as you go into a shop, you know, you're in a queue, it's like that guy that's in front of you in the queue, he's basically just in your way. He's just an obstacle in your way, same as the guy driving the car in front of you, same as anybody. I mean, this is what people are like today. They're just running around the place as little atomized individuals glued to their mobile phones. I mean, just this week we saw, it was all over the news, this kid riding his bike and he just ran over, you know, a mum, and he comes out of court and he killed her. He comes out of court and he's just like, yeah, whatever. Not even bothered. Really disgusting. And that's the kind of, unfortunately, that's the kind of atomized society that the Jews have created for us.
I thought you were going to bring up a chap on his moped that drove, he was playing with his mobile phone and drove straight into a sinkhole in the road. But yeah, it's a similar thing there, what you're saying. Thinking it's the exact opposite of what it used to be. The city states is where the civilization first began, was with these small city states where you had ethno states, but they were in small cities. And that was where all these civilizational arts first came up. And then what you had out in the rural areas is where you would get mugged and where you would get robbed. You can read the pyramid texts and the Book of the Dead. It makes it quite clear that the cities were the civilized areas, and out in the field is where all the crime was, and you had the law in the cities. And now it's the complete opposite, because we have multicultural cities. And this is why we have to get back to, once we get back to just being with our own ethnicity, then things will go back onto the right path. You know, it doesn't matter what system of governance you have, it doesn't matter what religion you have, it just, so long as you have white people together, things will naturally go back onto the right path, as they always did in history. Brutus, thank you very much for coming on. Do you want to let people know where they can find you, your new blog, before we finish?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I've got a blog. It's called Wake Up White Boy. It's on Blogger. Don't know how long it's going to be there till I get shut down, but anyway, it's there. And second of all, I'm on BitChute. It's under the name Brutus of Troy. So if you go to BitChute and you just search for Brutus of Troy, it should come up.
Okay, well, thanks for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Please do remember, we do have overheads, we do have costs, and we do need some new equipment, and we have got a Bitcoin wallet at the top of the sidebar. Please also remember to donate to Morgoth at Morgoth's Review. We'll be back next week with another SS Britannia for you. So until then, we hope you all have a wonderful week ahead of you.
Aryan, for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.